We are on page 106. His middle of the page, he speaks of this world which has an envelope. An envelope which covers its the original creative light. And it is this envelope that draws towards the verge of nature's lapse. The whole power of fall, the whole strength of the fall, comes from this world of that covers the brightness, the perfection, the purity that is there in this world. This is the other side, the dangerous nether planes. But these nether lower planes lends beauty to the terror of the gulfs and fascinating eyes to perilous gods, invests with grace the demon and the snake, which is part of our nature. Our attraction for the lower movements, the attraction for that which is dangerous, that which is destructive, it is also part of the plan. It is not a simple journey that moves from below upwards. We fall down from there, bringing down with the fall the power of the darkness which hides the light. It is, and it holds this. This is the matters, this is the subtle ground of matter's worlds. It is the immutable in their mutable forms, in the folds of its creative memory. It holds, stays back. You can try to grow out of this, but these lower planes do exist. And they have their power for a very long time. It's not to say that I have left my lower nature behind and now I'm climbing upwards only. I take up the lower forms, the lower worlds, because that too is part of the all. And it is there that the light has to start working. It guards the deathless type of perishing things. Because that these worlds care only for form. Only for expression cares. Only for perfect form. It doesn't care for the substance. It doesn't care for the content. Which is as if working on the play of the outer perfection of manifestation. Sometimes a writer or an artist may concentrate on how to give shape to whatever he wants to express. And his whole focus is on the shape. And he loses touch with the origin of the creative force. That is part of the world of manifestation. Manifestation is a form. So you focus on the form. You lose connection with the source of consciousness. This is what happens in our life. Often we focus on the outer perfection in movement, in behavior, in our outer expression. We don't concentrate on what we are within, the inner state that we are in. We don't always connect with that. It is so long as we are elegant or beautiful in our outer expression, you say this is a beautiful person. That person may have lost touch with the source, the true source of beauty, because it is the outer sheath that holds us. That is a problem, or perhaps it is a phase. It's a stage. This, therefore, he says, serves a greater consciousness. A vessel of its concealed autocracy, it is the subtle ground of matter's worlds. Matter is form. This world is the ground, subtle ground of matter, the world of form, which we give so much value to. In the process, we forget the world of the spirit. You do something beautiful here or anywhere. You're manifesting a form. You're making a beautiful garden where you focus, for instance, on the flowers. But the spirit, the consciousness that is held in the flower is, for the time being, not the important thing. You want that particular flower with that particular color, with that particular shape. And you say, that is the important thing. I need this color, the flower of this color, the flower of that form. I just want that. Man is like that. He wants a beautiful house. He makes a beautiful house with beautiful furniture. Who is going to look into the house and see the presence, the consciousness that is there in each corner of the house? That is part of our modern life. The emphasis on the external, the perfection of the external. That is necessary at a certain stage, but when it becomes all important, we lose touch with the source of consciousness. So, its lower potencies found our fallen strengths. Because of this, our fallen strengths are founded on this diminishing level of consciousness. We fall, we plunge into the world of error, ignorance, distortion, falsehood. Provided on the outside, on the surface, there is a certain sense of charm, of elegance, of beauty. See, that is enough. Its lowered potencies found our fallen strengths. Its thoughts invent our reason, ignorance. See what a wonderful combination of words. Reasoned ignorance. You justify ignorance with all sorts of arguments. You say, who has seen the divine? Who has seen God? Nobody has seen God. So there is perhaps no need to concentrate on that which is unknown to all. But then, who has seen joy? Who has seen love? Who has seen purity? Is it a substance that has to be handled? Or is it a state that you have to be in? That inner state is pushed away and you focus on the external. That has been the world for the last 200 years, ever since the industrial age took over the world. But its lowered potencies found our fallen strengths. Its thoughts invents our reasoned ignorance. Its sense fathers our body's reflexes. Reflexes is not even reasoned. Reflexes are automatic reactions, which is not controlled by the mind, which is not controlled by judgment. It's a reflex. The reflex is for self-preservation often, personal satisfaction. You don't consider whether this is right or wrong. There is a natural response all life has towards its continuity. Our body also has. It's not actually even an instinct. It's not an instinctive thing. It is a reaction. All life and the world of matter is based on the principle of action and reaction. Reflex is a kind of reaction, a natural reaction. So when I see something that is, according to me, unattractive. I may see a snake, my reflex would be to jump back. I don't say, is it going to hurt me? I don't think at all. My mind stops, shuts down completely. In the reflex, your mind doesn't work. It's just a response. But that is the beginning of growth. Our secret breath of untried mightier force, the lurking sun of an instant's inner sight, its fine suggestions are a covert fount for our iridescent, rich imaginings. Touching things common with transfiguring hues, till even earth's mud grows rich and warm with the skies, and a glory gleams from the soul's decadence. This is the whole problem, the soul's decadence. We enjoy the fall, we enjoy rolling in the mud. Automatically, for instance, little children love to play in muddy water, get dirty, enjoy it. They don't think it is bad. When we do it psychologically, we still do the same thing. We don't physically perhaps roll in the mud, but psychologically we do the same thing. We take much more pleasure in things that are not high, noble, pure. We take pleasure in all these vital forces or experiences that lower us. But this is the soul's decadence. It is as if it has touched the lowest levels of consciousness so that it can be brought out into the open, brought out and it can be touched by the light of the sun, the light of the truth. By pushing down in our being, pushing down our lower nature, covering it up with all kinds of explanations and justifications, we never transform ourselves. We have to bring them out into the open. We have to admit that they are there. And that is a great deal of recent, the last 100 or more years of recent psychology, the study of the subconscious, of the lower nature, those forces which we always thought is inherent to man. We are born with those things. You can't do anything with that. Maybe we can, but they have to be brought out into the open. They have to be brought out into the light. Why am I attached to this lower nature? Because we can't get rid of them. Why am I attached to my fear, my weakness, my dislike, my hatred? It has to be brought out, and then it has to be rooted out. That is when I can allow the divine to work on me. So many times Mother has said, when you come to me, give me your lower movements. There's a very beautiful flower called Surrender of Falsehood. Give the falsehood to her, not just show a very, you might say, pure and as far as possible, devoted face. You come before her and you're full of devotion. Maybe it's a genuine devotion, but deep inside there is so much that is not, that is still dark, that is twisted, that is ugly. That has to be brought out, and she can deal with it. She said, you give that to me, I can deal with it, I can free you from this. You yourself cannot. Otherwise we live with this dual nature. We have a dual nature. This lower nature stays with us for life after life. It doesn't leave. It is so obstinate. And so we have a higher being, which is the heart, the mind, you might say, the spirit. We have a lower being, which is the lower vital, the physical, the inertia, the revolt. And so we are always divided, and this gives rise to our suffering. You have to take up the lower being as well and put it in front of the divine. And if I can't deal with it myself, I offer it and say, you do what you can. If you think I should pass through this hell, so be it. If you think this is, it has to be taken out, I can't do it by myself, you do it for me. And this is, those who are very sensitive, like certain poets who freely move from plane to plane in the poetic inspiration, move from one plane to the other, and who are very, very, you might say, receptive to different vibrations, different states of consciousness. Just now at present they're publishing in Mother India some of the poems by Harindranath. Such a complex character. So beautiful in his calm, so refined, so beautiful, so subtle in his experiences. And yet the lower nature never left him. When he used to be inspired, he was in touch with the world of intuition, sometimes even the overmind. Such sensitivity. He, in the evening, he used to go out into the streets, get totally in Pondicherry. He used to live opposite Sri Aurobindo's room. So he used to look at, which is where Gauri stays now, that's Phanathra. That's why his poems are sometimes called windows. And he used to sit and see the room, get inspired, and write the most marvelous poetry. What praise Mother and Sri Aurobindo have not given to his writing. And then he used to go out, get totally drunk, fall in the drain, and regularly poor Ambu had to go and bring him home. Sink to the lowest level. In the end, the poor gentleman had to leave. He couldn't stay here. He was as if moving from the heights to the abyss constantly. It should be absolutely maddening. The torture that the spirit is going through, rising to the highest, falling to the lowest, losing his way all the time, and is aware of it also. He writes about it also. So, this is the problem. Its knowledge is our error's starting point. Its beauty dons our mud mask ugliness. Its artist good begins our evil stain. We find beauty in all these things. We enjoy these things. We love all this complexity, this twisted perversity of our existence. And you say, this is a highly complex, evolved creature called man. He has everything in him. So you see all these complexities in him. And this is where you have a complete being, not a linear being. A linear being is a person who just follows one line. The other parts of his being, he doesn't allow all of them to emerge. He pushes them down. This is the ascetic. But a person who is a complete man for a long time, until he has transformed himself or totally perfected himself, is made up of all the elements, all the possibilities of experience that are there on earth. It makes for a very confusing creature. He's himself confused. Who am I? Am I this lower creature? But at the same time, am I the same creature who has the visions of that which is wonderful, that which is perfect, a world of light, a world of a new possibility of manifestation of beauty? These are some of the rishis. A person is a rishi, at the same time, he is also a kind of a monster in his lower nature. It is such a being that Sri Aurobindo has told us should be taken up. A pot is made of mud. Often, the mud is often dirty. But it has to be made use of so that it can become receptive to the descent of the grace. So our lower nature has to be made receptive. You don't throw away the pot, you take a throw away its resistance. Our nature is full of resistance to light. All these things we have to cast away. So it's artist good. We find justification in these things. Begins our evil stale. A heaven of creative truths above, on the highest level, we are in touch with that world of light from which the projection of conscious manifestation originates. A cosmos of harmonious dreams between, we move from level to level. In each world there is multiplicity, there is variety, that one becomes the many. Like the rays of the sun, when the rays are projected out of the sun, that part of the ray that is still close to the sun is more bright, is more brilliant, is more golden. And as the ray moves away further and further from the sun, its light becomes pale, dim, and then it plunges into the mud and you don't see the ray any longer. Man is that also. Man has its origins in the divine. Man has its present manifestation in apparently an absence of the divine consciousness. We are everything at the same time. And this is the wealth of transformation. You have to take up every part, every particle, because all this is worked out by Him, by the Supreme. A heaven of creative truths above, a cosmos of harmonious dreams between, a chaos of dissolving forms below. Below is the chaos. Below is the ignorance, the inconscience, and the projection of ignorance, which tries to justify this, the formation of the lower nature through the ego. It's the ego that justifies this. It gives you a sense of identity, gives you a sense of individuality. A chaos of dissolving forms below. It plunges, lost in our inconscient base. This glory plunges. It is the glory. Out of its fall, our denser matter came. Where do we come from? The world of matter is density. Density means that which does not allow light to pass through. It blocks the light. We are made of that stuff also. There is inertia, there is resistance. Matter seems to be resistant to light, but matter is the source of all growth, and therefore light is hidden. Out of that light that slowly emerges out of matter, we have gradually the manifestation of perfection in matter. Very slow, because the resistance has lasted much longer than the emergence of consciousness. It has been there for a much longer time, the inertia, the darkness. And out of this, when the light or the consciousness begins to break out, it is difficult for it to emerge. It meets with not just resistance, but bad will. That is the problem. So much bad will. We justify this. And this has been done by whom? This darkness is who? Is the Supreme Creator. He takes up all the planes and all the possibilities of perfection as well as imperfection, because each imperfection is the starting point for a new kind of perfection. It's from there that something more beautiful will emerge, something unknown as yet. For instance, to find the manifestation of the supermind that Mother speaks of in the world of form. It's not in the level of consciousness far above, but in this body. That is something that has not happened before, but it has been made to happen by the Lord when He brought it down. His form transmitted gold. His form did. Can mine do it? Mine is completely incapable. I do not have that connection with the origin. In my body, in my nerves and veins, it is not possible. So this is the whole working out of the evolutionary change. The involution of the divine has to first come. He involves himself in the darkness. Out of this involution, the evolution starts to grow. Thus taken was God's plunge into the night. So this in conscience is God who is plunging himself in what seems to be the opposite of himself. If God is light, he plunges into the night. And what we see is an absence of divinity. There is nowhere that the divine is absent. He's there. But he wears this face. Just recently I read that sonnet, no? The Iron Dictators. It's the same thing. The fourfold mask. Those terrible powers of destruction. They are also he. Thus taken was God's plunge into the night. This fallen world became a nurse of souls. It is where slowly, just like in the dark soil, a seed slowly is acquiring the energy, the push, the drive to slowly break out of the soil. So it is a period of, which is sometimes spiritually described as seed time. The seed time. The seed time, the seeds, its possibilities, its flowering is not seen. You don't know that someday this little seed will become a magnificent tree or will burst into wonderful bloom. What you see is a nothing. It's a tiny little brown seed that has gone into the soil so deep that it seems to be lost in the soil. But this is man. Man is this seed. This is not man, this is God. God has plunged into the darkness in man, because only man evolves. Man is a growing being. He is the one through whom the divine work of evolution of consciousness can best take place. So this fallen world became a nurse of souls inhabited by concealed divinity. This divinity is concealed, very well concealed for very long, so well concealed that you don't even believe it is divine. Gradually out of this, there is the first outbreak of the small expression of consciousness. It grows. And then that energy for a long time bursts out of matter. Therefore, the lower creature has more energy than light. So you have these vital forces who have much more energy than those beings who have evolved more and have before them a choice. Shall I be on the side of light? Shall I be on the side of darkness? But the lower creature are just pure energy. Therefore, they are much more long-lasting. It's more difficult to combat them. A being woke and lived in the meaningless void. This is the first expression of the meaningless void we thought, empty of anything. That is the starting point of manifestation. There was total inconscience. There was no manifestation. In that world of absolute inconscience, something moved. Something wanted to be without knowing why. Just like in us, there is something in our nature which wants to be. You said, this is me, I want to be this. Why? I don't know why. That's why I am. But this push, this drive, is the first, l'élan vital, this urge towards manifestation. A being woke and lived in the meaningless void, a worldwide nescience strove towards life and thought. The first stage after matter, life. And then slowly, thought. Thought comes. Thought tries to explain why I want to live. You are a thinking being, why do you want to be? You put before yourself reasons. I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to satisfy this need, I want to fulfill this desire. So it's still the vital pushing the mind, justifying yourself. That is the ordinary man. He develops his mentality so that he satisfies his vitality, his physicality. He doesn't ask for anything higher to start with. But that's a stage. Instead of stopping at that stage, we have to push ourselves forward. So it's that push. A worldwide nescience, nescience is ignorance, strove towards life and thought. A consciousness plucked out from mindless sleep. That's the start. And this consciousness is for a long time strong without the sense of an aspiration for a greater consciousness. This is where the firstborn of the mother, the children of the, they are the firstborn sons of the Divine Mother, they are the asuras. They are very powerful. The whole urge of manifestation comes from below. They are strong and they don't feel the need to change, to justify themselves. We are attached to our present state. I am a huge ego. I have power. I have wealth. I have rule. I can dominate. I can control. And it gives me an immense satisfaction for a while. That is the state of man, the successful man, the so-called great man today, often. That man will have to break, but he won't do it quietly. That is why there is this world of clash and opposition, sometimes chaos. All here is driven by an insentient will. Thus, fallen in an inconscient, frustrate, dense, inert, frustrate in its original sense, raw. It's in a state of absolute, undeveloped rawness. It is not unsuccessful. Of course it will be unsuccessful. Something frustrate has not been perfected, purified, made beautiful. It is the French word frustre. It's very raw. Now, for instance, a fruit was not meant to be eaten raw. There is a time when it is ready. Then you pluck it. Then you enjoy it. Our life is like that. There is a time when every movement must arrive at its fulfillment of perfection. Every vital force has at its origin a drive towards perfection. For that perfection, we have to move out of this world of just plain physical vital existence to another level. But as long as that does not happen, it becomes dense. As long as the density remains, there is a fall. Gravity is there. Inconscience is there. Failure to move forward is there. Sunk into inanimate and torpid drowse. This is the word. It is torpid, dull, heavy. Yeah, when we say you have to use your, when we study something, we have to use our intelligence, our mind, we say it's very tiring, I can't do this. It's much more easy to fall asleep. You fall back into that original drowse, because that is our starting point. So it's very attractive in conscience. You fall back and you call it rest. Actually, you fall back every night if you sleep very well and not consciously connected with the divine, you go back to the original inconscience. To come out of that again becomes this recurring spiral of rising to fall, falling to rise. Sunk back, sunk into inanimate and torpid drowse, earth lay a drudge of sleep, forced to create by a subconscious yearning memory, left from a happiness dead before she was born, an alien wonder on her senseless breast. It's a beautiful line. Earth lay, because earth is the field of manifestation. She is forced to create what? An alien wonder on her senseless breast. What is evolution doing? Earth is manifesting. Evolution is manifesting on the earth. Something that at each step is higher, is more beautiful, until it reaches a complete perfection. From where is evolution drawing its inspiration to create higher and nobler and more beautiful manifestations? It is as if there is a kind of a memory. We remember without knowing our origin. Earth knows that her origin was the source of all life, all power, the divine. So we have this image of the energy that is at work on the earth. This energy that is pushing its way from the lowest levels of matter, of dullness, of heaviness, trying to build something at each step a little more beautiful, a little more perfect. These new creations have not been made perfect yet. Then how can you create something beautiful if you have never created beauty before? If you have never been perfect before, how can you build something which is close to perfection? Unless deep inside, the connection with that origin is never lost. It is as if this is the power of the snake of evolution. Mother uses the image of the snake as slowly emerging from below. That is the Kundalini Yoga. The snake rises, becomes straight, manifests the light. At the beginning, it is all coiled at the base of the spine. So the darkness is coiled inside us. It stays coiled. Gradually, through evolution, through the divine action, through a conscious participation in that action, which is our yoga, you can draw this energy upwards, towards levels it had never reached until then. At each stage, we are trying to reach a level of beauty, of perfection, we have not yet arrived at. The future is something not yet known to us, but it is there already. It is towards this evolutionary change that all things are moving.
Why is the word used, senseless breast, in what sense?
Unconscious, totally unconscious. But she has to do it as if she's obliged. This force is at work in the world of life, in the world, she's working in the world of matter. She is forced to create. By what? A subconscious memory. Deep inside the heart of the spirit of earth. As if the memory of a lost world of light. And these are traditions that are ancient traditions, which always speaks of a previous world where there was another race. For instance, even the Vedas, they start by talking about the earlier fathers. Long before the Vedic age, there was an age of what they call the earlier fathers. Who were they? What world and what level of conscious evolution had they arrived at? That is lost. This is the age of mysticism. It was always there. The Chaldeans knew, the Indians knew, the Egyptians knew that there was an age where this play of perfection was slowly working itself out. And then there was a fall. The age of mind came. Mind doubts, mind forgets, mind rejects what it does not accept, what it does not understand. So it has to repeat that cycle. Move back to that which we have already had before. The first age was the age where there was this doubt was not there. Automatically we were children of the divine. We were projections of the divine will. Then we cut ourselves off from that origin. We fall into the ground. We are not aware of the divine anymore. We are aware of our material and dark and unconscious surroundings more than anything else. Slowly to work our way back to that perfection. It is because of this perhaps that we don't like imperfection. We don't know perfection, but we don't like imperfection. Anything imperfect does not satisfy. Anything mortal does not satisfy. Anything hurtful does not satisfy. So there is somewhere the yearning for perfect joy, perfect manifestation of consciousness, perfect light. We want that, which we don't have. We have not in our present state of humanity known it, but somewhere we know it. That's why we don't like the opposite. This is why at present it is an alien wonder on her senseless breast. And then you have these very beautiful lines. This Maya must harbor the orchid and the rose. From her blind, unwilling substance must emerge a beauty that belongs to happier spheres. It has to come out. Because beauty in the world of matter is the manifestation of the divine. Beauty is nothing but the manifestation of a divine principle in the world of form. So this world of mud, which is not to be rejected, it has to be made use of so that out of this mud, the flowering of consciousness takes place. This, a beauty that belongs to happier spheres, this is the destiny bequeathed to her. This is the role of the earth. And man on the earth alone is at the head of this. This is the charge given to him to manifest this beauty, this perfection on the earth. Not to avoid living in this world of dirt and dust and go away into a world of perfection already. But to be on the earth, to face all the opposition, because the creation of the earth is for that. Out of the soil, out of the mud, the lotus comes, the rose comes, the flower comes. It is predestined. Out of man, the divine manifests himself. You stop there. These lines are very beautiful. Otherwise, as she says later, she has earth, as a doubtful title to her divine name. You are, the doubtful title means you are not entitled to divinity. We talk about divinity. At present, the way man is, it is doubtful. But no, she, it is not doubtful.